Hi, everyone, and welcome back to High Tea Hoops.
High Tea Hoops.
It's Skylar, the Duchess of Hoops, back as always with Brian, the Duke of Hoops. Brian, how's it going?
It's going great. I got to see a basketball game, multiple basketball games, in person for the first time in like a year and a half. So It's been a great week.
You also got to play in person. Are we going to do a little pickup corner later, or should we save that?
Let's open the pod with that. It's okay. Just been, in all seriousness though, having basketball back outdoors, it's starting to open up indoors now in the UK, is such an incredible mental health improvement. I can't believe I went so long without playing. So just shout out to pickup basketball around the UK, outdoors, indoors, everyone able to go back on the court. I think it's going to be a big summer for basketball in the UK.
Yeah. And you might have seen on Twitter, Instagram, I don't know about TikTok. The High Tea Hoops.
You better believe this on TikTok.
Has debuted the top five plays from pickup around the UK. So
send your videos in.
Yeah, send them to us on Instagram. Maybe you'll get featured. I think the first week was, it was a good first High Tea Hoops top five.
It was fun. I mean, the play will get better. The first one started out with just things that I have captured. Mm-hmm. So they're not, they're not the sexiest highlights of all time. There's some offensive boards in there, some nice little layups, but I'll put commentary over whatever videos you send in. We'll start to do best of, and it'll be great.
Yeah. All right. So let's get into the agenda for today. We're just going to run through the BBL semifinals, the second leg, since we went over the first leg last time, and then the BBL finals and the WBBL finals, which we were lucky enough to attend. So we can kind of give some behind the curtain looks too.
I wish we were at the semis for the BBL leg too, but man, those were intense. But I'm really glad we got to go to the first one, and I'm watching the second. I was like, whoa, there is tension in that arena.
Yeah. I also think it was interesting to be able to see it in person and then see it on TV too.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. So let's get into the Newcastle Eagles versus the Leicester Riders BBL semifinals leg two. The Eagles won 88-69 to advance to the finals. Brian, what did you think about this game? I mean, the Eagles had a bit of a deficit to overcome. And we were talking to Ramon after that first leg, and we were like, we're hoping to see you this weekend, man. Like, we'll see. Yeah. What did you think about this game?
Well, we called this one, by the way.
Yeah.
Because when we were at leg one, the Eagles had all the momentum.
Yep.
And that's the thing with aggregate. It felt like it was going into the second half of one gigantic game. And the Eagles had all of the momentum going in. The Riders had that huge lead in that first half. Mm-hmm. The Eagles fought back, got it within, I think it was one by the end. Like, it was only one or two going into leg two. And this was an enormous game for the go-to players on the Eagles. I mean, mm-hmm. Fletcher had 27 and 10 and four steals. Justin Gordon had 16 and 10. Cortez Edwards had 22. And it just felt like the Eagles had the magic that the Riders kind of let up in the end of that first game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's always going to be tough when you go 3-for-24 from three. Yeah. Which the Riders did, and the Eagles went 12-for-31. So, I mean, that's always going to be tough to overcome.
They just went, and we saw this with the Lions game, which we'll get to later in the finals, but the Eagles' defense is just so tough, and they know that these teams kind of live and die by the three. The Riders less so than the Lions, but the Riders still really depend on these threes, taking 24 of them. And it's not like they're just like they did miss. They didn't get the good luck. Like, they didn't fall this game, which is what happens with three-pointers.
Yep.
But the Eagles also pressured them like crazy, denied like crazy, always was closing out. So a credit to the Eagles here. Like, they have they're a big reason why they were missing so many of these threes.
Yeah, definitely. And they also, they held Geno to 11-9. So.
Yep. And Darren Nelson Henry, who, got the top five. He was the center for the kind of BBL team of the year, 13-11. So he had a decent game, but they knew exactly who they had to shut down, and they executed. It was pretty amazing.
Yep. We did get to see Geno before the BBL finals. He got to accept his, was it MVP?
Yeah.
There's so many awards. I can't keep track.
I know. There are a lot of BBL and WBBL awards.
Yeah. But Mike Tuck ended up interviewing him, and he sounded like he was really wanting to come back next year. So hopefully we'll get to see a little bit more of Gino in the BBL.
Yeah. And you realize, like, Gino is one of the most freaky athletic people I have ever seen. And then walking around the arena, just a limp, just like that basketball walk. Like, these guys, their bodies go through a lot, and they seriously peak during these games, because you'd never know after. You're like, these guys are at the end of a long season. It's taken a toll on their bodies. And it's just so weird to see Gino, who's like head is at the rim during a game, to then be like limping around the arena to get his MVP award. But great season to the Riders. Yeah, that
makes you feel better, didn't it, Brian?
Oh, yeah, of course. And I'm like, look, Skylar, like, Gino's doing it.
Yeah, you're just...
It's the basketball player's walk.
Being old. Okay, so should we move on to Lions, Raiders? Any last thoughts there?
No, just incredible season to the Riders.
Yeah, I mean,
they won the league. Their cohesion as a team, their team building, the coaching, like...
Rob won the coach of the year too.
Yep. So incredible season. And it's just exciting to see, you know, the Eagles, Raiders, Lions all really pushing British basketball forward. So kudos to the Riders this season.
Definitely. All right, moving on. London Lions versus Plymouth Raiders, semifinals leg two. Lions had a 12-point deficit to overcome in the aggregate.
Yep.
You and I were talking before this game, and we were like, you know, the Lions can definitely do it. You can never count the Lions out, but 12 is a pretty big deficit to overcome.
Yeah.
What did you think about this game, Brian?
I picked the Lions to win this one because of those three-pointers. Like, they have always started slow. Again, if you think of that first leg as the first half, they only kind of come through when there's that pressure, when there's that urgency.
Yeah.
So this game, they had the urgency. They had a big deficit to overcome. Mm-hmm. So I think they came out firing. And, you know, this was obviously a little bit of a blowout. They won 100-80. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of I wish there was a game three here. I know they weren't able to do series, but it felt like the Raiders got the best of the Lions in the first game. The Lions came back, kind of punched them in the mouth a little bit. And I would have loved to see both teams adjust and kind of go head to head in a game three.
Yeah.
But the Lions hit their shots. And I think, like, I know that kind of the strategy of the Lions in a lot of these games that, you know, we heard being in the arena was like, we need to come out there and literally like punch them in the mouth, get to a hot start, just kind of overwhelm them with our shooting, with our athleticism. And Justin Robinson stepped up and had 17 first quarter points.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And they really jumped out to that early lead. Did anyone else impress you here?
Yeah, I think a lot of people did, but we saw this with the Lions in the finals game too, which we'll get into, that they just came out so hot. But this game was, they just played a full game this game, which I think is what impressed me. Because I think we see the Lions kind of fall apart in games semi-often. Yeah. So,
well, they don't have as cohesive as a team. You know, they have a lot of great individual players. But this entire season from like the... you know, from trying to qualify for Europe through, you know, some of these tough games they've played against the top teams, it's like, it's a lot of ISO ball, especially compared to the Riders, Eagles, and Raiders, where everyone seems to know their role. They're all executing. They have these set plays. The Lions are like, ooh, they get all tight. And then, like, if a couple threes don't go, they get in trouble.
Yeah. The Raiders were never really able to quite get back into this game, which honestly... I was kind of heartbroken for the Raiders in this game just because I think they maybe came in like, all right, we got a, you know, 12-point lead. I think they came out a little bit slow, and then they were just never able to quite get into it. This is such a heartbreaker for the Raiders. But, you know, props to the Lions. They really stepped up. Liggins had 25. He looked incredible this game.
How about that clutch shot at the end?
Oof.
With that Vince like giving him the salute from the sideline and him like nodding. I was like, wow, that is like prime time Liggins right there.
Did you see the picture that came out of that?
Carol,
the Lions photographer took?
That was amazing.
It's incredible. Like, DeAndre's not really in focus, but you can see him. And then Vince is in the back doing the salute. Incredible.
He needed that one where, you know, the game before that, like he was, he still had a triple double, right? So it's like, it's hard to be like,
but he didn't play. It was like 12 points or 14 points or something.
He knew he could have stepped up and done a lot better to take that game. And this one, he like needed to build that confidence back. You saw him at the top of the key before that three. They both went under. So he just had a lot of space in front of him. And he was like, I'm taking this and I need to make this. It was almost like the nail in the coffin shot.
Yep.
And he hit it. And you could almost see this like release of like, I am that man. Like, this is my game. This is my team. And it was just really fun to see. And then after, like, did you see his interview after the game?
Yeah.
He just tears.
Yeah.
I was impressed. He got emotional.
Yeah. And I loved the way he talked about how he cried after the first game. I feel like we don't hear a lot of male athletes talking about crying after games. And I love that. Let's normalize men crying.
And then for him, like he is not, you know, even when he was on our podcast, he is not the most talkative player. He's not trash talking a lot. He's pretty quiet and like just executes. Yeah. So you don't really know what's going on in his head a lot of the time. So for him to come out in that interview and say like, I know I was really down on myself and I came through for myself, like hit the big shots, came through. That was great to see on the Lions side.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the Raiders had, you know, some great players stepping up. Miguel had 25. Marcel had 18.
Mike Marcel
not being enough.
Huge in these playoffs.
Yeah. All right. Any final thoughts there, Brian, before we move on to the finals?
I mean, just again, the Raiders, my
love them.
My beloved Raiders, my side team.
Your from mistress
my,
team.
Yeah. Incredible season again. I hope they bring – I mean – I am so curious, maybe we can end with this, but who's going to stay on these teams next season? Like, I would love to see Ashley Hamilton come back and McGill and them to re-sign a lot of these players.
Yeah.
Would love to see Andrew Lawrence get healthy and come onto this team. So I think they have a bright future. They obviously invested a ton this year in the team and, you know, have a strong ownership group and are kind of on the up and up as well. So I'm excited to see what they do here in the future.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. BBL Finals.
In person.
Newcastle Eagles versus London Lions. North versus South.
Yep.
This was a fun one, Brian. Where do we even start here?
Where should we start? Game flow? Do you want to just like go through the game a bit?
Yeah, let's do it. So, I mean, Justin Robinson was out.
Oh, we forgot angle. That.
Yeah.
All right, let's go back to this.
Yeah.
This was at the end of the Raiders game, very end. So the Lions kind of, I think they had already secured it basically.
Yep.
First of all, that aggregate score, like put it on the screen. Like I need to see what's going on. They're up by 15, but they're really only up by 3. It's just
so
like,
much
it's
maths.
Really a lot of maths to do BBL. But yeah, this replay just like sent shivers down my spine.
I know.
Of him spraining his ankle.
I do not want to see those replays ever. Like, I don't know why we need to see them 5 times.
And then I never seen this before. He sprinted across the entire court after that to get kind of behind the boards by the Lions bench. I think he just like, he knew he ripped that ligament and needed to get out of there. But man, he looked like he was in a lot of pain. And then Vince, after the game, they asked him about it. He's like, yeah, Justin's not going to be playing in the finals. Like, like, I just saw him. That is not happening, which is a huge blow to the Lions. Like, he is, you know, he's been kind of up and down all season, but he is the leader. He is the point guard. He's the one who kind of sets the pace, can get him in their sets. He can be kind of that mental toughness leader on the court. So, I mean, as a Lions fan, I was like, shit, like, he just came out with 17 points. He knows when to pass versus take it himself. And that's a big loss, especially going against Ramon and Defoe and like all of the Drew Lasker, all the vets on the Eagles. Like, they needed some of that.
Yeah, big loss. It was tough to see him come out in the finals on crutches too. It was so sad for him. Are those what those are called when they're like the ones that go around your arms, not the ones that like go under your armpits? Are those still called crutches?
Honestly, no idea. And I don't know what they call crutches in the UK, so it could be a totally different word.
Yeah, someone let us know. Is it crutches? Let us know.
Yeah. Is it a stroller? Is it a pram? Like, those are so different. Who knows what a crutch is?
Yeah. All right, let's go through the game flow a little bit. The Lions, like we said, hot start again, came out, punched them in the mouth.
Yep.
They went on a 15-4 run to start the game. Orlando Parker was on fire.
Fuego. Holy shit, Orlando.
Yeah, and the Lions, just for some like in stadium context, the Lions like randomly had a squad there who were hype during that first quarter.
Well, so, like the Sevenoaks Suns were there to accept it. So there were a lot of people there for the final, specifically to like for the coverage, for the awards. Like they had a few. I mean, there still weren't hardly anyone there, but there were like, you could hear the people supporting them. You could hear the tension. Like this game, like it was nerve wracking even getting started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was tense in there.
Yes.
So the Lions were up 24-12 at the end of the first quarter. Did we get that scuffle in the first quarter? I think it was, right?
Yeah, it was almost immediately.
I was very excited as soon as I saw that.
Yeah, they wanted to go at it right away. They were ready for the heat.
I don't know if it's like an American thing. I don't know if it's because I grew up watching hockey. I love a fight in a game. I'm like, ooh, baby. I think it's because I'm here for the drama, honestly.
Well, it's not a fight. In basketball, it's never a fight.
It's not a fight, but it was a scuffle.
Yeah, a little tension. You know, the bad blood. They don't have bad blood with each other, really. There's not like a huge rivalry there.
No, but there was some shoving. There was, you know, some talk.
Yeah, they were going at it. Both teams wanted it really bad.
Yeah.
And just immediately, Vince on the sideline, like, stop it. Like, we don't want technicals. Like, too many, like, we get too many people in foul trouble. So he wanted to end it.
I mean, I was happy that the refs were just like, all right, we're going to give you warnings. This is the finals. I was going to be annoyed if they like handed out a ton of texts for that. Like,
especially after the semifinals where it's like, no trash talking, technical foul. It's like, come on. Like, let them talk a little bit.
Yeah. The Eagles fought back, though. It was 35-30 at the end of the first half. Brian, what did you see from the Eagles as they were kind of fighting back?
Well, I think you're right. They got punched in the mouth. Orlando Parker was a mismatch, so he was hitting.
Yep.
I mean, he is such a good shooter for a power forward. So he's hitting the little mid-ranges. He's penetrating. They really didn't have an answer for him. But the Eagles, this team throughout the entire playoffs, I don't know if it's just that veteran leadership we talked about, if it's Ramon like setting the standard or the bench, but they never look out of it. They never look defeated.
Yeah.
They just inch their way back in. They make the adjustments. And you could tell by the second quarter, like their defensive intensity tripled over that course of that first quarter. It's like, oh shit, if we're going to play this way, we're going to get blown out.
Yeah.
And they just put the clamps down. Their help defense came down. And they responded better than like any team I've watched in the BBL, because there is the highest pressure game you're in. And they did not look out of that. It was like the end of that first game against the Riders where you're like, oh shit, the Eagles are like have this magic right now and this toughness.
Yeah.
And they are not losing this game in a blowout. They are going to fight back however they can.
Yeah. There's a lot of teams that they get frustrated and you can tell that mentally they're kind of fracturing. And I never feel that with the Eagles. Like, they will look very frustrated. Ramon will be frustrated. Defoe will be frustrated. They'll be, you know, frustrated with refs, with each other, with the play, whatever. But they never look like they're mentally breaking. Like, they're always so mentally into it. It's honestly wild to see. It has very big Kennedy Leonard vibes.
Well, you're right. I think they have a common enemy, the refs, every game with the Eagles. So they usually, like, gang up
on
that. My
enemy as well.
Yeah. So they usually like they don't get snippy with each other as much. They usually like get down on themselves, but like it's a lot of positive talk. Their bench is really loud. Mm-hmm. You know, Rex, the common enemy, Rex Pfluger got a foul in the first half and was like, what was I doing? And just chased the ref down the court. And he's like, just talk to me. Like, I just want you to. And just the ref was ignoring him.
And
Rex is chasing him down the court.
Someone was like, just leave it. Just leave it. And he was like, I just want him to talk to me.
I just want to talk.
It was very funny.
Tell me what I did wrong. So yeah, maybe they just like, okay, the refs are the enemy. Let's not go at each other.
Should we just get into the officiating conversation right now? Or should we?
Do it. You're the host. Where do you want to go?
Guys. BBL, I need you during this offseason to figure out the officiating. It was so inconsistent. It was driving me insane. And like in a game that is this close, if the officials are missing so many foul calls, calling so many fouls where there aren't fouls, like being so inconsistent in their calls, like that is going to affect the game. And so it just was driving me insane to see like, the level of play was so high and the level of competition was so high, and then the level of officiating just could not match it. It was driving me insane.
I don't know what it is. Like, this isn't a problem in the NBA, the WNBA, and professional leagues across the country.
Yeah.
Where the inconsistency, it must be really hard to be a player because, like, on one end, they call something completely differently than the other end. Mm-hmm. And there were some, like, that stood out where I think, was it an Orlando Parker three or yes. some?
Yeah. I don't know if it was Orlando, but they went up for a three and got fouled. And they called it on the ground for some reason because they were like, oh, he had landed. Or it was something
about... No, that was that. It was like, oh, no, he was fouled when he landed.
But
and DeAndre was like...
It was in the air.
Yeah, well, it's like, well, he has to land in a shot. Are we supposed to not jump when we shoot? Like,
right.
The landing is part of the shot.
Right.
So there are a lot of just inconsistencies. And, like, the players are like, what's a foul? Like, they were, like, questioning, like, what's going on here? And it's tough. I mean, it was hard to adjust to that physicality.
Yeah. It was reminiscent of last week when we were like, what's talk? What's trash talk? Where's the line? Yeah. But that call really was one of the most egregious I saw. And DeAndre, like 20 minutes later in the game, was still talking about it. Like at one point he was taking the ball out on the sidelines and was like, so when are we supposed to land? Like we have to land. And it was 20 minutes later and it was very funny, but I shared his frustration.
Yeah, I think just figuring out how it can be more consistent. And we're newer BBL fans. So I've heard that they call a lot more in the BBL than other leagues. They don't let them play through as much.
Yeah.
And so I think they need to decide.
It's hard to adjust to in general.
Yeah. Yeah. So you hear that adjust to the BBL refs from a lot of players that come in for the first time. So
yeah.
I have no idea what the overall reffing solution is, but I think the BBL needs to decide, like, how do we want to officiate these games? How are we going to stay more consistent? Because also, like, we should not be talking about this on a pod. The player shouldn't be focusing on it so much. It takes away from the game. So
yeah.
They got to figure out a way to improve it.
And it's, I like what you said. It's definitely not just a BBL problem. Like we've seen terrible officiating in the NBA and the WNBA this year. So I don't know if everyone's brains are just fried from the past year and a half, but I don't know. I don't know what the solution is, but I would like it to be solved. Okay. So
second half.
Whew.
Nerve-wracking.
I'm actually going to back up a little bit to
Okay. Halftime.
So we did creators' predictions before all of these games.
Come on, Skylar.
Listen, I'm just going to call this out. I picked the Eagles to win this game.
Why? So I'm obviously a Lions fan. I thought they were going to win from the start of the season. Why did you pick the old Lions?
Or the old
Eagles?
I just trust... mental toughness, I think, above all. I think that was really what I was thinking. Because I was like, both of these teams could win. Like, it's truly a toss-up between these teams. I think the Lions have more weapons on offense. I think they're a more athletic team. I think the Eagles are maybe more cohesive, maybe have better sets. So I was like, I truly don't know between these teams, but I'm going to take the mentally tough team over... the team that we've seen kind of crack mentally in the past. I don't know. Okay. I was just going on a gut instinct.
You're going on feel. You like the magic you saw in game one.
I did. And so I picked the Eagles. We ran a poll on High Tea Hoops. Not a single person voted for the Eagles. Everyone voted for the Lions to win. Someone came up to me at halftime and showed me my prediction and was like, this is interesting. And I was like, I don't know. I stand by it. Like, I still feel good about it. And they were like, really? And I was like, yeah. And then I just wanted to throw that in there. I was, nailed it.
Yeah. That was the point of that segment.
Yeah.
You picked right. Oh, great.
Yeah. And even at halftime, I still felt like I picked right. And you know what? I did.
Congrats, Skylar.
Thank you.
You did great.
Thank you. I went 2 for 2. I picked the Lions and the WBBL too. Anyways, moving on. Second half.
But didn't you pick the Raiders to make it to the finals? Just want to bring that up.
I might have.
Moving on.
I can't remember. Moving on. Second half. Let's finally get into it. This was just... It was just wild. I don't even know where to start in the second half, Brian. I really want to get into the Maxwell dunk. Because I felt I felt like that was, there were a couple moments in this game that I felt like were, what's the word? It changed the momentum. Yep. I felt like Rex ripping that ball away from Kevin Ware. That felt like a momentum changer.
Was that in the third?
That was in the first half.
Oh, okay. To bring him back. It was definitely a game of runs. Like the Lions would shoot ahead. They shot ahead 54-42 in the third, but then the Eagles fought back to 55-50. So like it definitely went back and forth. And you're right. There were these like momentum moments, the Rex ripping it away and then Ramon getting a layup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely a momentum change because you could see how frustrated Kevin Ware was after that. And they just started really stepping it up on defense. I think it really...
They swarmed them.
Yeah, it really
was unbelievable in that third and fourth.
And then I think the Maxwell dunk was a big momentum change too. I
had a few dunks.
Yeah, I mean, you know the one I'm talking about.
The alley-oop off the back cut on baseline. Oh, that was incredible.
Yeah, I was on that baseline when that happened, and it was a lot to take in. Being on the baseline is so funny for me, I think, compared to you, because this is a audio medium. Tiny. This is a podcast. Brian is 6'3". I am 5'5". And so there were a lot of times where I was like cringing a little bit or flinching a little bit.
Because you're close. You're close to the court on the baseline.
Yeah, they're flying through those barriers all the time, so... Anyways.
So you felt like Maxwell dunked on you. Is that what you're saying?
Basically. Yeah. Basically. I feel like we're going on so many random tangents.
That's what podcasts are for, Skylar.
Okay. So like we said, the Eagles defense really stepped up in that second half. I think it really forced the Lions to settle for a lot of threes instead of kind of going into offensive sets or really trying to vary their shots.
They live and die by the three.
Yeah.
Like it has been like that all year. And that's why it's so nerve wracking where what did they go? I'm looking it up here. Yep. 6 for 29 for three. So they went a little bit cold and they only shot 6 free throws. So they were not driving. They were not getting into the post. You know, I think Ali Hodzic, like he's a tough fit for this team. I think he's a good player, but he did not have a good game.
Yeah.
Didn't get a ton of minutes, so wasn't even like in the flow of the game that much. But this is where like Maxwell getting those dunks. Maxwell had a good game, not a great game maybe, but he was like a huge centerpiece for the Eagles because they had that post presence where, all right, we're kind of stuck. We need to fight back in here. Let's dump it in the post. Let's have Maxwell get a bucket. The Lions didn't have that. They just kept jacking up threes, and the Eagles, like I said, were very good at closing out and doubling and like swarming all of the perimeter players and shutting that down. They were not going to lose with threes. And that's where it gets cold. That's the squeaky bum time, Skylar. Like the threes just don't go and they start inching back and it's just kind of that quicksand you get into.
Yeah. I didn't even really notice Maxwell in the first half. And then he really stepped up big in the second half. I will say the Lions did get into some foul trouble in the second half. So I think they ended up losing. They lost Dirk pretty early in that second half.
Like 2 or 3 minutes to go in the game.
Yeah. Like you said, the Lions got barely any foul calls. And then the Eagles were getting a ton. Like it was.
Yeah. Well, the Eagles, like, you're right. That's where like, I think the Lions get frustrated at the officiating because they're like, why didn't we have more foul calls? But the Eagles were going to the hoop.
Yeah.
Which you get a lot more foul calls. The Lions were settling for a lot of threes.
Yeah.
Which there's a big difference there.
Yeah. I was a bit sad I didn't get to see DeAndre Liggins's free throw.
Did he not get one free throw?
He didn't get a single one.
Whoa.
Yeah. I was watching very closely. Brian, what did you think were the best moments from this game?
Yeah, so if we go through this, let's see. Seeing Justin trying to hype up that team on crutches or whatever the name is, please let us know, before the game, like that was pretty inspiring to see. And then to see Orlando step up so quickly and how hyped the Lions bench was getting around it, that was pretty fun to see. But then equally fun was like the Eagles are like, no, this is not how this game is going to go. And they really, you know, the fighting back and like the mental toughness, you know, this wasn't a pretty game. What the they won 68-66. Mm-hmm. So it's only a 2-point game. So it should be great, but 68-66 is a grind out game. The Lions scored 100 points in the last game.
Yeah.
So it wasn't the prettiest, but like it was a strategic battle. And I think the game of runs was one of my favorite. Like Lions go up, they get hot, Eagles shut it down, inch their way back. Yeah. And that's what, you know, I love that type of game where they're just going back and forth like that.
Yeah. This was definitely one of those games where we talked about this last week too. I felt like I never knew what the score was. And then I would look at the score and I would be surprised by what it was every time. Because yeah. we were, you know, we're filming, we're doing social, we're doing whatever. So, you know, it's, you're not just like watching the game. And I would just look up and I'd be like, how did the Lions get back up by 12? And then I would look, I would like look away, look up again a couple minutes later and it's tied. I was like, it was one of those games where there were so many runs, but it still felt so evenly matched through the whole game that it really, through the whole game, I felt like it was anyone's game.
Yeah. And like that Maxwell dunk, that was with 7 minutes to go. That was the first time the Eagles took a lead.
Yeah.
So the whole game they are playing from behind. And then we get to, this is what I'm talking about, like the slower grinded out type game. It was 66-66 with a minute 34 to go.
Yeah.
It went that whole time of just battling to get, like the Lions did not score on those last minute 34.
Yeah. I mean,
what did you think of those last possessions, Skylar? You were filming, I was filming. I like, oh, this is brutal as a Lions fan, but just like I was filming baseline. DeAndre like kicks it down to Farrow and on the baseline and it like goes through his hands off of his forehead into the Eagles' hands. And I was just like, oh, this is painful. And then
he pulled a LaMelo ball, just passed it off his face.
I was a couple feet from it. And I'm like, ooh, like that was tough.
You know, that hurts too.
yeah, seriously. And it just like went right to Cortez. But what did you think about the last possessions for the Lions, or like that last, like the tip doesn't quite go in?
Yeah. I actually got a video of those tip ins and I rewatched it and it was really, really tough to watch. They had so many opportunities I think they had like four opportunities around the basket, just tip in, grab the rebound, kept going back up. These tip-ins were not even close, Brian.
Oh,
like it wasn't like it was bouncing around and they just got the angle slightly wrong. They were bad shots. And then the last possession that the Lions had on offense, I was a bit confused by. Were you? Like it looked like there wasn't much of a plan. DeAndre kind of like looked like he didn't really realize how little time they had left. He ended up just having to like throw up a really bad three.
Well, I think Ramon missed on purpose to kind of force that.
Do you?
Or that's what he said. That's what he said.
That's what
he was joking after the game. Yeah.
He
was joking after the game. He's like, oh, I missed that to make it more exciting. Like he was like, I'm trying to boost the ratings. I wanted to boost the ratings.
Yeah.
I think at that point it was basically over. Like that shot almost never goes in. So it was the ones before that where they had sets. They could not finish that game.
Yeah.
Which was brutal to see. But what were some of your favorite moments?
I mean,
we've covered the brawl. You love the little scuffles.
I love the brawl. Honestly, though, now that I'm thinking about it, like that moment was when I started to worry for the Lions in that game. And that was very early in the game. But like I was saying, like mentally, I just think that they let their emotions kind of take over a lot of times. And they were like, the Eagles were kind of in that scuffle. Ramon was in it for sure. But the Lions were emotional in that scuffle. And I mean, Dirk was like kind of inconsolable at the time.
Yeah.
So that's when I started to worry for them. Like, if they let their emotions get the best of them in this game, it's not going to work out well for them.
Yep. I want to hear also, we've kind of saved this for the end of the finals coverage, but what'd you think of Cortez Edwards?
Oh,
MVP performance.
God. It was an incredible performance. Do we have the stats somewhere? I think we do.
So many stats.
13-7 with 4 steals. And I think the most impressive part, 0 turnovers.
22-13-7-4.
Zero turnovers.
When we're baseline, like there aren't stats anywhere. We don't know. We're just like, this dude is all over the court. Like,
yeah.
He, first of all, he can jump like 100 feet high, which just when you're in person, you're like, he just jumped over me just casually getting a rebound. But just he would come through with these clutch and ones. He'd come through with these clutch threes. Did you see his little – he hit a really big three and kind of did his little jump, like fist pump on his way back. And he – I'm just like, this guy is all over the court. And, you know, when Ramon was struggling a little bit, you know, he didn't have his best performance. You know, Cortez Edwards came through.
Stepped up. Yeah. It, I mean, he was hitting these clutch threes. He's driving and getting these and ones and they're going in, like just taking so much contact and still finishing around the rim.
Playing defense.
Yeah. His defense was incredible. He was literally everywhere. Like,
offensive rebounds and putbacks, and like this dude was flying around the court.
He was getting rebounds over people a foot and a half taller than him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He reminded me, let's take this back to pickup basketball, Skylar. He reminded me of the guy who has stayed in really good shape when everyone else hasn't. And so like it's the end of all of the games of the day and he is just still sprinting around when everyone else is like three gears slower.
Yeah.
That's what he looked like out there on this floor with that much talent out there.
Yeah. Because he played, I mean, he barely sat. He played so much in that game. And even up until the very, very end, it was 110% from him.
Yeah. Well-deserved MVP. That was incredible.
Yeah.
Well-deserved? Well-deserved?
Well-deserved.
I like saying deserved.
It's like beloved.
Yeah.
Beloved.
Dearly deserved.
Yeah. So, we're going to get into this MVP conversation, I think, a bit with the WBBL finals, but Cortez felt like very obviously the MVP. Yeah,
he was the MVP. Orlando Parker had an incredible game. I think what he had 27 and 12. Liggins again, 12, 6 and 8. So he's packing the stat sheet, but he didn't step up as much offensively as I think he probably would have wanted to. And, you know, Cortez deserved it. Mm-hmm. And do you want to go through kind of the celebration best moments? Because I think this was my favorite part of the entire day.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, let's get into it. So as soon as they had awarded MVP to Cortez, they let them all get their trophies, gave them the big cup. They then busted out the champers.
champagne, the bubbles,
the champagne. And my favorite part was so they're all waiting for Cortez to get done with his MVP interview. He's taking a very long time. Mike Tuck is really putting him through it. Who ran over to get him? It was Ramon and who?
Justin Gordon. They were so impatient. Yeah. They're like, get your ass over here. We need to pop some champagne.
They pull him over so that they can pop champagne. Rex just immediately pours it directly into his eyes and then just yells, we forgot to bring the goggles. Sir, that you just poured it directly into your eyeballs.
He looked like he was in pain too.
It looked very painful. I also loved how much the team was hyping up Mansoor, the photographer.
Yes.
They loved him. He was in a full poncho. He had his camera fully covered. He was ready to go. He was very prepared. I was very impressed.
Yeah, the Eagles, they were so happy, and that was so fun to see. Like, they have been a fun team all season. They're all, like, best friends with each other. Even, like, Darius and Ramon are, like, going to the other games after their games in the different legs. They're just hanging out together. So this team just looked like they really loved each other. And, like, that was, you know, as a Lions fan, it was still, like, heartwarming to see them get this win and kind of be able to celebrate that as a team.
Yeah. All right. Any final thoughts there, Brian, before we move on to WBBL finals?
I won't wrap up everything. Let's hop to the WBBL.
Okay, let's do it. WBBL finals, London Lions versus Newcastle Eagles. Same teams in both, which
incredible. That was really fun. Yeah, that was a fun narrative. Fun.
Yeah. This, I don't know why we did it this way. This game was first before the BBL finals. Brian, we were predicting the Lions to win going into this game. What did you think about, what were your takeaways from this game?
Well, the Lions crushed them a little bit. It was 93-71, so it wasn't quite as exciting of a game as the other Lions versus Eagles. But this one, my biggest takeaway is that the Eagles have had a magic through the playoffs. Ali Gurrell, Abby Lowe, like they have these players stepping up. McVicker, who just love her game.
Yeah.
Haven't seen as much of her through the season, but you know, Ali Gurrell is a killer. And I was saying before the game, like the Eagles seem a little outmatched. Like the Lions had like two or three more players than they did who could really kind of be playmakers and hit shots. And I think the Lions just, they just were the better team here, and the Eagles didn't have enough firepower to kind of take them on. They scored 93 points.
Yeah.
Like that is tough.
It's going to be hard anytime your opponent puts up 93 points. I mean, the Eagles kept it close through the first half. I don't know what the score was at the end of the first half, but
they kept coming back. They would fight back in the third, I think, especially where they got it close again and they kind of kept it close, but then the Lions, yeah, close-ish, but then the Lions, yeah, just put their fettle down on the metal, their foot down on the pedal. And I mean, that's where like Kennedy Leonard, Beckford Norton, like they just took this game over and it was hard for the Eagles to react.
Yeah. It's the Lady Lions. I don't know why I just said that. I hate when people call it the Lady whatever. Like I hate
that. Were you doing like the Lady Bears?
Yes.
Like the,
and yeah, I hate the, that name. I just, well, we I just talked about it. My brain just slipped into that. The Women's Lions.
The BA Lions. The Barking Abbey Lions.
There you go. They're kind of like the opposite with what we see with the men's Lions. Like they will just crush you in that second half. There's like never a doubt in their minds. Kennedy Leonard had a triple double. I mean, it's expected. 20, 10, and 12.
She's like the Russell Westbrook of the WBBL. Like she could legitimately average a triple double.
Yeah. Yeah, she could.
And just the intensity too.
Yeah. I mean, Russell, I think of as very emotional on the court. He really,
That's true. I guess I'm just going the intensity and focus. Yeah. No, she is so even emotionally. You're right.
Yeah.
Not the best comparison.
Yeah. Shanice Beckford Norton, who was our MVP, had 38-4. She is really interesting to watch with Kennedy, 'cause they are both just so calm.
Yeah.
Shanice was getting very frustrated in the first half because there was definitely some missed calls where she was getting fouled very hard and it was not getting called. But she was getting frustrated and was still just saying so calm, talking very calmly to the refs. At one point, she was like asking about a call and her teammates were like, "Shanice, just leave it. Just leave it. Like, it's fine. It's fine." And she was like, no, I'm just talking. I'm just asking.
I just want to talk.
I just want to know. But she was just very calm. The refs were not annoyed about it. They were just like, yeah, this is what it is. So those two together are just like stone cold killers. I loved it.
Yeah. You can see why Kennedy gets so many assists, because her team just hits those shots. They know their roles. They have that team cohesion. They're all ready for Kennedy to do her thing, make the play, kick it out, hit that shot. It was really incredible to see like in person, because this is our first WBBL game. WBBL game in person. And you're like, how is Kennedy doing this? And her team is just feeding off of her, cutting around her, making sure they hit their spots. And they execute, like having 30.
Yeah.
Incredible. Her shooting was amazing.
Yeah. The Lions are deep too. Like anytime they had someone kind of get into foul trouble or needed a break, like they would bring someone else in and they would just come in. It was just like a one for one replacement. It was just, there were no bench players on that team. They were so deep.
Yeah.
Brian, we finally got to see Ali Gurrell in person.
Whew.
What did you think? She had 39-5.
She had 39?
30.
Oh, 39. And pause, I was like, she had 39 points.
And 5.
30. Pause. Yeah. She is, like I said, like we tweeted about this in the beginning of the season. She is just a killer on the court.
Yeah.
Like she has the shot. She doesn't just have the shot. She has her step back. She has her moves. She has her counter moves. Like she has the full package. Do you want to talk a little bit about that step back, Skylar?
Yeah. It was right in front of me. I was on the sidelines and it was a couple feet away from me. I rewatched the video of it because at the time I was like, sheesh. And then I rewatched it. She just absolutely put her defender on skates.
Yeah.
Like I didn't quite realize it as much the first time. And it was, she truly just, embarrassed her defender and then just nailed that three. She has such a pretty shot. I love watching it.
And like that move is snapping my ACLs right off. And she is just so smooth with it. And she, she, like I said at the beginning of the game, she could have hit, 11 threes.
Yeah.
And that they would have had a chance here. And, she only had 30 points. So maybe that wasn't, it wasn't quite enough because she didn't have the support of the rest of the team. But she is so good.
Yeah.
And did you see them surprise her after the game in the bus?
With the goat shirts.
Yes.
Yeah. That was amazing.
So it's cool. Like this team, like Allie was the leader of this team. You could tell on the court. And they look up to her and that, the goat shirts were amazing on the bus afterward. Cause this is, there was a magical run still.
Yeah.
Definitely. And she came to play.
Historical run. She actually reminded me of her and Cortez Edwards, like what I was saying with him, just taking so much contact around the rim and still being able to finish was really impressive. She had so many and ones, and she, I was like, if I'm taking that much contact, there's no way this basket's going in. And she just nailed all of them.
Yep. Yep. And she's trying to get those angles. She was great to watch. And Mick Vicker, I really enjoyed too. She was hitting a ton of threes. She really helped him get back in the game.
Yeah.
And she also had a little floater game.
Yeah. I loved the floater game. She just felt like on an both energy sides. Too.
Yeah.
That the whole team could feed off of.
They were a little sloppy. Like they definitely had more turnovers than they would have liked. And they were kind of just trying to piece it together. But yeah, she came up big with threes. She had the counter for the three with that floater.
Yeah.
Abby Lowe stepped up, had 10 as well. Maybe not Abby's best game. I've seen her play better, but like she still like had that intensity and you saw her like fighting hard and she was fighting on defense too. I think she had to cover Kennedy for a big part of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, they just not enough firepower for this Lions team.
Yeah. I also thought Abby Lowe was kind of a fun comparison to Kennedy and Shanice because like Kennedy is just so even emotionally, so serious. Same with Shanice. Abby Lowe is just so smiley and so chatty on the court. It was like the end of the game and they're obviously not gonna win. She's just like smiling, chatting with the ref. It was like just like a very funny comparison with Kennedy and the Lions.
Yeah, San Diego State alum.
Yes.
Getting those West Coast vibes.
Yeah.
Just happy to be out on the court.
Yeah. This was another one where I had no idea what the score was through a lot of the game. The Lions really ran away with it, and it did not look like it in the game. Like, as I was watching, I was like, all right, this feels still pretty close. And then I would look, and they'd be up by, 15.
Yeah. They just put the foot down.
Yeah.
On the fettle.
Brian, what were your best moments for this game?
I caught some very funny faces while doing photography for this event. My favorite was Kennedy got hit hard and went down and she got up. And I'm probably not going to publish these. I might send them to her though. Where she just was rolling her eyes. She's like, I can't believe they just fucking did that. And that was the one rare emotion she would show, or just groaning of the pain and all right, this is over. So that wasn't my favorite. And then she hit the free throws too, on a lot of those hard hits. So yeah, her intensity was one of my favorite things to watch.
She did. It was so impressive. She literally took such a hard hit. Was down maybe a minute and a half, popped up, swished two free throws. I was like, who is this girl? This is insane. That was also another one where I was like, why is she shooting free throws there? Didn't quite understand the call there, but that's okay. I also liked, this was, all right, I'm not going to spend this entire pod complaining about officiating, but at one point, the Lions got a tech for cussing, not towards the refs, not towards the Eagles. They were literally just talking to each other. One of them cursed, and they got a technical for it. And it was pretty ridiculous, but it made for some funny moments. Kennedy just turned and was like, you're going to give us a technical? You're giving me a technical? She just couldn't believe it. There was no, sass in it. She just, literally was questioning. The coach was like
talking to your teammates.
Yeah. We're talking to our teammates. We can't curse on a basketball court now? What is nothing sacred?
I don't know. He gave off like amazing dad vibes there. Where he's like, "What? We're not allowed to curse now? What is this? Like, this is basketball. We're not allowed to curse."
I like that you gave him such an American accent, even though he's not American.
That was my American dad of just like, "Come on, let the kids curse a little bit. Like,
let them trash talk. Let them curse."
It's funny, like they probably wouldn't even be able to hear it if this was like an O2 or something.
I didn't even hear no the one was there. Thing.
I know, I didn't either, and I was baseline.
Yeah. Whatever. Anyways, I also loved the Lions dropping one of their trophies during the celebration.
Yeah. I didn't even know what happened. They were like jumping and celebrating together, and then they all just stopped cold.
Yeah, I was right next to it, so I knew what happened because you could hear it, and you saw the glass go everywhere because they all got these little like clear glass trophies, and they were, you know, jumping and celebrating, and it just slipped through someone's hands right in the middle, and they all just stopped. It was very funny to see. But Shanice, when she, you know, accepted her MVP, she grabbed a couple extras so that she could replace them. Should we get into the MVP conversation, Brian?
Yeah, let's do it.
So Shanice Beckford Norton was MVP, like we said, with 38-4. There was some talk on Twitter after the game, though. Matthew Bryan and Manning was tweeting, you know, she obviously had an incredible game, was such a big part of it, completely deserved it. But he basically, what he was saying was, if you have a triple-double in a finals game, like, you should also be MVP. He was saying Kennedy and Shanice should have been co-MVPs. What do you think about that, Brian?
Yeah, be flexible.
Brian?
I would love that. Yeah, just make the recognition. Both of these players really stepped up. They provided a lot of different things to the game for this win. Just give them co-MVPs. I don't know if they're allowed. Like, I don't know any of the business reasons behind why they wouldn't. But, like, two of their players were huge, ran away with this game. Both kind of set historic metrics, like triple-double, getting 30 in a finals game. So just recognize both. Do something for both. I don't know.
I actually kind of disagree. And I'll tell you what.
I think there should be one.
I think there should. Well, it's not like co-MVPs that I'm against. I don't even really feel that strongly about this. But I feel like with MVP, I always just feel like it should be like an eye test. And Shanice was the game changer in this game. Like, she was the person who came through for her team, stepped up for her team. Kennedy, like, I'm obviously the biggest Kennedy fan. I love her. But I don't know if it's just because Kennedy has these games where she puts up triple doubles all the time and you kind of don't even realize it because she's doing it so often, and she quietly does it a lot. Like, she won't look like she's taking over the game, and yet she somehow has a triple-double. I feel like MVP, I don't know. I just feel like it's such an eye test thing, and Shanice really was the difference in this game.
So would you have given it to Kennedy or Shanice?
Shanice.
Oh, okay.
I would know.
I'll stay flexible.
Yeah.
Like, it's a team game. Two players have incredible. I kind of just hate the end. Like, the MVP conversations over the last, I don't know, decade have been so annoying. Even like NBA, WNBA, it's like, who's the MVP? Is it the one who matters most? Is the one on the winning team? Like, it gets so convoluted. Just recognize both. This is an up and coming league. Let's be a little bit flexible. But yeah, I have no problem. She deserved it. So
yeah,
it's not even an issue. But interesting Twitter talk.
Yeah. Brian, any final thoughts on the WBBL finals?
Just overall, for like May Madness in general, this was an incredible production. Sky Sports being there, Buzz 16, you had Mike Tuck and Kieran and Anthony and Nat Coombs. Like, this entire team did, and Dan Routledge, this entire team did an incredible job. And I thought it was a great display of British basketball. Like, if we're trying to bring new fans into the sport and getting it on Sky, getting it on YouTube for free for everyone to watch. Like, the arena looked amazing. The games were really fun. You could see there was a ton of talent. So I think it was just a great showcase. So I just kudos to everyone involved in the BBL, WBBL, and all the production teams, because this was a lot of fun. And like, maybe it's just because we're here and we get to see live basketball for the first time, but like, it was a really amazing experience. And I think it really kind of sets up the BBL and WBBL to keep the momentum going for next season when fans can actually come back.
Definitely. Yeah. Second, all of that. I also think, you know, the BBL finals were, it was about as good of a game as the BBL could have asked for when, you know, they had this many eyes on May Madness. Like, that is exactly the game that people want to watch when they're watching a finals game. So I think they truly couldn't have asked for more. Everything looked incredible, so professional. Yeah, kudos to the BBL, the WBBL. Thank you for having us to the BBL and the WBBL.
Yep, shout out Selena.
Shout out Selena, our girl. Yeah, just a really incredible experience. And I cannot wait for next season now. I don't even.
I can't either.
NBA who? I don't even care.
Well, now it's time for the NBA and WNBA coverage, Skylar. So buckle up. Play-in tournament started.
WNBA season started. We got a lot to get into over the next couple weeks.
But incredible season for British basketball. Can't wait for the summer and fall as things ramp back up.
Yeah. All right, Brian. This has been great. We'll talk to you soon.
Talk to you next week.